We bring you warm Christian greetings this evening on a warm summer evening. Listen, summer is here. Tune in your ear to the voice of the lark, to the sounds in the dark, to the symphony played in the deep forest glade. Come, join the gay breeze through its dance to the trees. To the sweet scent of clover come bumblebees over, to sip at the dawn while the shy spotted fawn drinks deep at the stream, while the sun sheds its beam. God's love to the world as each fern is unfurled. Summer is here. Listen, you know, we're tempted sometimes to complain about the heat and summer and so on, but every day has something for us to rejoice in. We can rejoice and be glad every day. Another, just a short one, and then I'll get to my message here soon. Through the wind of the present, all my life must come to me. Freedom, happiness, and friendships, these great blessings I can see. Only as they near my casement, then my heart must bid them stay. For God's blessings always enter through the wind that called today. Care may cast a fleeting shadow on my precious window pane, but I know that sunshine gathers added luster from the rain. So I find that each new morning life is glorious and gay as I greet the morning sunlight through the wind that called today. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made. We need to rejoice and be glad in it. And I say many times, if we miss today, we've missed it. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow never comes. It's always today. So this is the day which the Lord has made. I think that we need to be careful of our thought life. You know, it's pretty easy to complain sometimes, but really we have nothing to complain about. God is in control. Like Brother Ray said, he's in control of every situation, doesn't matter what it is in life. Did you ever think that God maybe isn't fair, hasn't treated you fair? I know we wouldn't say it, but do we ever think it? How about whenever we get two-tenths inch of a rain and down the road a few miles they get 4 inches? Would we say that God isn't fair? No. I say he's in control. And whatever he brings our way, we should be thankful for. I'm one who believes that God never makes a mistake. He has a purpose in everything in life. And when I say everything, I mean everything. When things go smooth and when things don't go so smooth, he still has his purpose in our lives. Do I hear someone thinking or saying, well, you never went through some of the things that I've gone through? If you would have, maybe you'd think quite different. But I don't know about that. Sure, this old world is full of trouble. I ain't said it ain't. Me, I've had enough and trouble reasons for complaint. Rains and storms come to fret me. Skies are often gray. Thorns and brambles beset me along the way. Yesterday, a cloud of sorrow fell across my way. And it may rain again tomorrow. It may rain, but say, ain't it fine today? You know, Jesus said we're not to take any thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow has... And today we have enough to think about. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. And as we look out over the fields and we do need rain and all, I say that God has his purpose and we don't need to worry about tomorrow. We just simply live from day to day and realize that it's the day that he's made, and then we can rejoice and be glad in it. Now, what I've already said doesn't have a whole lot to do with the subject for this evening. The subject for this evening is the folly of neglect. Now, the word neglect is used less than a half a dozen times in the New Testament, yet there's much exhortation given to take heed, to pay attention, to be diligent, and these are the opposite of neglect. Neglect is to fail to give proper attention to. And that's the reason I had our brother read from Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 2nd chapter. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I think the greatest thing that anyone can neglect is salvation. It's just really not giving proper attention. Anyone who really believes, and there are a lot of people who don't, but anyone who would believe in eternity, something without end, and there's only two choices, either heaven or hell. That's as plain as anybody can make it. In Acts, the 6th chapter, we find that there it was because of neglect that the first deacons were chosen. They chose 7 men full of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. They seen that there was neglect. We know the account. There was neglect. Their widows were neglected. And they seen that there was neglect, and they went to work and they corrected it. They chose 7 men of honest report to fill in there where things were neglected. In the 3rd chapter, 1 Corinthians, the word neglect is not found, but there must have been some neglect because there wasn't the proper growth that there should have been. Now, I say the folly of neglect. Folly is foolishness, light-minded, reckless action. And there's a lot of people that are reckless and foolish, taking no thought of tomorrow, what lies ahead of us. But we want to be concerned about today. We want to live today so that tomorrow we can live for tomorrow. We can rejoice every day of our lives. Also in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, there must have been some neglect. It says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and can't stand strong meat. In other words, they weren't growing like they should have been. And I believe that we all know that when neglect is, we don't have the proper growth. If it's neglect in our lives, if it's neglect in our business, if it's neglect in our farming, whatever it might be, unless there is the proper work taking place, we can realize what neglect really does. Hebrews 10:25 said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day is he talking about there? I believe he's talking about the day when Jesus is going to come and take us home. And we're to be more concerned every day as we draw closer. And I don't think there's any of us here that wouldn't believe that we're drawing closer every day. We know that. But I believe that we're very close to the return of Christ. I'm one who believes it could even be tonight. But what more could happen? You know, when we see all these things come to pass, we're not to be troubled, but we're to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And the Bible closes with, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I feel that many times in our prayers, that should be our prayer. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. What better could happen? Nothing better could happen. But then we always think of those who are not ready. We sing, when Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon and night or night, will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright? That's saying, be ready. Have your lamps trimmed. Have them bright. Be ready for his return when he comes. Say, shall we greet him with joy and not fear? Will you and I? We can if we are prepared and we look forward to that time when he comes. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. To forsake is to abandon or give up. Now, I believe that neglect would precede forsake. Little by little, we neglect and more unconcerned. And after a while, we forget about it. But we need to trim our lamps, let our light be burning. We must feed our souls as we do our bodies. This I'm sure that you've often heard or have heard different times. I remember of the ministers even using it when I was a boy. They said about the man who wanted to teach his mule to live without eating. And he said it went pretty good until when he got used to it, he died. And you know, that's the way it'll be with us. If we're going to live without eating, if we're going to live without feeding on God's word and neglect that, maybe by the time we get used to it, it's going to be too late. Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Christ is going to return. Now, there's a difference between neglect and being unable. Being unable cannot be classified with neglect. There's things that we would like to do still, but we're unable to do them. And we say sometimes that I meant to come to visit you, or I meant to write you a letter, but I just neglected it. And that is neglect. But there are times when we're unable to do those things that we would like to do. There where it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, salvation or salvage is something that's salvaged from refuse. And you know, that's what Christ done for us. He salvaged us. We were lost. We were all lost in sin. But he salvaged us. Jesus gave his life that we might be saved. You know, that little word, so, has no limit. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish but have everlasting life. How great is that little word, so? There's no limit to it, is it? You know, we're free tonight because someone paid the price, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Ruined by the fall, salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. John 3:17, for God so loved the world. John 3:16, as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. And John 3:17 says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn us. He's offering it free to all. But if we neglect it, we can't escape. You know, when I think of this, when neglecting our salvation, those of us who have been saved, who have accepted Christ as our Savior, I'd just like to go over our baptismal vows and remind us of what we promised there in the flowing stream. Dost thou believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he brought from heaven a saving gospel? We said we did. And we do. But we daresn't neglect that. We have to be reminded over and over. Dost thou willingly renounce sin and Satan with all its pernicious ways and all the sinful pleasures of this world? We said we do. And we meant to, and we need to remind ourselves day after day, willingly renounce sin and Satan with all his pernicious ways. Dost thou covenant with God in Christ Jesus to live faithful unto death? You know, I have to remind myself of that many times. Doesn't say until death. We're all going to die. We want to be faithful until death. But my concern is for myself and for all the rest. Would we be willing to be faithful unto death? If it costs you your life, Would you be willing? You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. But if we give up our faith, if we neglect, then it's all loss. Upon the confession of faith which thou hast made before God and these witnesses, thou shalt be baptized for the remission of thy sin. Now that confession was made to God before the people. As we rehearse these questions in our mind, we go back to that time. I'm sure every one of us can remember when we went down into that stream and we were baptized and we made that covenant, bound for life, born into the family of God. The song says, God is my Father, Jesus is my brother, the blessed Holy Spirit is my guide. I am now a new creation, the devil is no relation. I'm of the royal family in the sky. Tonight we can't rejoice too much in that, can we? We're the royal family. The devil's no relation. We're a new creation. We've been born again. And then we want to live that out in our lives every day. At that time, we say that we're a new creation. We're the family in the sky. We then become pilgrims and sojourners. We're pilgrims and sojourners. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And that's what we're looking forward to. This world, I'm glad that this world is not our home. We're here for a little while, and then we pass on. When I say a little while, James, I believe it is, says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. That's in regards to eternity. It's nothing but a vapor that appears for a little while. And we should be willing to forfeit anything in this life to, for that little while, that we might be eternally with God in heaven. You know, Jesus said to Peter when he wanted to defend him and with his sword, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, then would my servants fight. Told Peter to put up his sword. You know, today, people take it so lightly. We're not of this world. We're only in this world. And his servants don't fight. And I feel that we need to strengthen ourselves day after day in the fact that, you know, today they take pride in many of them and going, even in our own faith, going and fighting for their country. They feel that's something great. But Jesus said his servants don't fight. We're not to kill. And regardless of how they feel about it, we can't change God's word. And we need to repeat it over and over. We need to be willing, even if it costs our life. We don't know what's ahead of us. I believe we've got persecution ahead of us that we've never experienced before. But we need to arm ourselves. And the way to arm ourselves for this is to be on that solid rock, Christ Jesus. You know, at this time, we believe that by accepting Jesus Christ was the only means of salvation, that his gospel was a saving gospel. We were willing to withdraw from sin and Satan, to renounce Satan with all his pernicious ways. That word pernicious means highly injurious or destructive in character, deadly. Satan with all his pernicious ways. You know, he has so many ways of drawing us away, getting our minds on something else. And they're injurious. We have to realize when something comes our way, ask the Lord if this is pleasing to him and ask him to give you the courage to stand for whatever you know is right. This covenant, like I said, was made to God before the witnesses, not to the witnesses, but was made to God. We promised God to live faithful unto death. This would bind us for the rest of our lives. but we have neglected. We all have neglected at times, but should be willing to correct when it's brought to our minds, rededicate our lives if we have been negligent. And then I think of our annual visit. There's a lot of congregations don't have that anymore. But the reason for the annual visit is to go out and visit and ask the questions again, pretty much the same questions, and to renew our vows. The purpose of the visit is so that we don't neglect. You know, the questions asked by the deacons on the visit are our renewal of the vows that we made at our baptism. These questions shouldn't be taken lightly. The answers are answers to God again. I believe when we answer to the deacons when they come around and they ask the question, that's answering to God again. God hears, God knows, and He hears what we say. Are you still in the faith of the gospel that you declared at your baptism? We say we were. Do we really think what we're saying again? We're taking that vow again. Are you at peace and union with the members as far as you know? And again, we say we are. Are you still willing to work for an increase of holiness both in yourself and others? And we say we are. How much are we doing? Are we really working to increase holiness in our own lives and in the lives of the others? These questions should be asked from an honest heart, and God knows. You know, God knows even our thoughts afar off. And that's very important, that He knows our thoughts afar off. You know, for some it seems to be the same old song. Then when the brethren leave, they feel that it's all over for another year. We realize that with some, but we need to be earnest and help in every way that we can and tell them that to neglect is going down. It's going the wrong way. How can we say that we're at peace and union and harmony with every member if there are grudges and if there's envy? You know, if there's grudges, if there's evil thoughts in our heart, and then we answer those questions, we cannot be at peace and union and harmony. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 3rd verse. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now there he's talking about being partial, and I don't think we should be partial either. You know, I pray for the minister, whoever's going to preach, and often don't look who it is, because it really doesn't matter to me who's going to preach. And that's the way I feel about it, and I think that's the way we should. We should be concerned about everyone. Nothing between our brothers, our sisters. Nothing between our soul and our Savior. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and verse 13, I have down here. I'm going to read, starting at verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised thereby. Wherefore, or because of this fact, even the chastening, bring me back again to the thought of Brother Ray. Doesn't matter what it is in our lives, God has a purpose and He's superior. He's going to see us through. Even for the time, it's not joyous, but it's grievous. Nevertheless, or even though, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised thereby. Wherefore, because of this fact, knowing, lift up your hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's why we ask the question, are you at peace and union? Without peace and holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Brothers and sisters, if there's any root of bitterness, if there's any feeling in your heart against another brother or sister, it's you that's suffering for us, not them. It's you. And ask God to take that out of your heart. And then you'll have that peace which passeth understanding. Someone asked one time years ago in the Sunday school class, what is peace that passeth understanding? I said, I think it's peace you have when you don't understand how you have it. You know, sometimes when things seem like everything's going wrong, we can still have a peace which passeth understanding. And we're offered that peace, and he'll give us that peace. How can we say that we're willing to work for an increase of holiness in ourselves, that's first, and others, if we have grudges, if we can't speak to someone else, if we can't love another brother or another sister? Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Can we answer those questions and then not even attend services? Attending service is a place where God has promised to meet with us and bless us, a definite increase in holiness. We sing, more holiness give me, more faith in the Lord, more meekness in trial. We need meekness in trial. We need more faith in the Lord. And if we ask, he's going to give. Scripture says, if we ask, we shall receive. You know, we read in the third chapter of Acts that Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. They had an appointment with God. And they were able to share what? Alms? No. You know the account. Peter says, such as I have, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Do we have it? We can't give someone else something we don't have ourselves. But they went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. They had an appointment. And they were a blessing there. You have an appointment. I'm sure that many of you others here will remember that when Howard Danner from the pulpit would give the announcement still, he would say, these are appointments you have with God. And he said, when you have an appointment with the doctor, you have an appointment with the dentist or other places, you're there in time too. You're not late. And I think that's good advice. We have an appointment. Our brother gave us some appointments this evening. Are we going to show up or are we going to neglect? In the fourth chapter of Luke, we have the account of Jesus going to worship. I'm going to turn to that. Get it here. I'm sure that's where it is. We have the account of Jesus going to worship. Yes, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That was his mission, and his custom was, he went into the house of worship. That should be our custom. Today, you and I, We go to the house of worship, and there we can worship with those of like precious faith. And Paul, as his manner was, went into the synagogue and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them out of the scriptures. You know, the scripture says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. We come together to reason and to understand what is in store for us. But we find there's many excuses, and that's nothing new. We have in Luke 14, I believe, where they were invited to the supper. They made excuses. Some had bought a yoke of oxen. Another bought some ground. Another married a wife. What's our excuses? You know, there's times when there's doesn't take very much, it seems, to keep us away from the place of worship. But come now, let us reason together. And when we reason what he's going to do for us, like here in where I read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What more can you ask for than what he had there to offer? God accepts no excuses. He knows our thoughts, he knows our intents, and he knows our reason. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Escape what? Judgment. Eternal damnation, hellfire, if you please. It isn't a very popular subject to speak of hellfire, but it's just as real as it ever was. Someone asked a man one time why there aren't more sermons on Revelation. He says there's too much judgment in Revelation. The day of preaching hellfire is a thing of the past. And I'm afraid he's right. Pretty much a thing of the past in many places. They tell me that even some places they'll stand in the pulpit and tell you there is no place like hell. But there is. And it's real. And it always will be. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Upon such the second death hath no power. Every one of us wants to be among that number when the saints go marching in. Man might as well try to blot the sun out of heaven as to try to change God's word. You know, when I was thinking about this, when it's no longer available, everybody wants it. You ever experienced that? Back during the war, when you couldn't get a new automobile, people wanted new automobiles that otherwise wouldn't have bought one anyway at all. But you couldn't get them. They wanted them. And that's the way it is when the door is closed and those are on the outside. You know, when the door of the ark was closed, Noah opened on us. He said, God has shut the door. It was too late. Everybody would like to got in then. And that's the way it's going to be in that day. You can't neglect salvation, you can't neglect something you don't have, but you can fail to accept the call. We have that opportunity, and we can neglect that opportunity. And many people feel that there's plenty of time. Tomorrow, he answered his conscience. Tomorrow I mean to believe. Tomorrow I'll think as I ought to. Tomorrow the Savior is saved. But ever answered his conscience. One word and one only today. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Thus day after day it went on. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Till youth like a vision was gone. Till age and his passion had written the message of fate on his brow. Then forth from the shadows came death with the pitiless syllable, now. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. What will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? You know, I think everyone ought to hear this. We all need it, but so many people that need it aren't here. And what do? They have the invitation. God sends out the invitation. Well, may the Lord bless you, and may we think on it day after day. Not neglect the opportunities we have. We have accepted Christ. But we have opportunities to witness every day to someone. May the Lord bless.